it going? Good. You guys have a good week? Yeah? Awesome. Sorry for the spring cleaning here. I guess it's summer cleaning. I just need to use this table. But can I just say it's awesome to be in the house of the Lord with you guys today? Like, seriously, Peter, man, I'm weak. I need to go to the gym. Wow, that table's heavy. But, yeah, seriously, I need to come. P90X, I'll be there, Aaron, all right? I need to bulk up. That table's getting too heavy for me. But, no, it's great to be with you this morning. And, yeah, it's just good to be in the presence of the Lord. If you don't mind, as you guys have already known, being here today, we love to pray. I'd love to pray one more time. Is that cool with you guys? Yeah. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for today. Lord, we praise your name. We give you all the honor and the glory. Lord, I pray that these words would not be my words, but they would be your words, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us as you've spoken to me in preparation, God. Let these words of Scripture sink in, and Lord, help us to live it out, God. We thank you so much for who you are and what you've done. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Well, I got to tell you guys a little bit about my week, all right? So my week was crazy. Every night, I think we had something going on, maybe with the exception of Monday night. I got sick on Tuesday night. It was awful, right? Thursday, I was sick all day. I could barely make it through work. I just wanted to kind of leave, but I ran out of sick time already. Oh, that's terrible, right? And I had to stay there. And I had this call. I work in a call center, for those of you guys who don't know. This lady called me, right? And she's flipping out because her check is $18 off. And she said, it's my fault that New York State just raised their taxes 1%. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I actually had to put the phone on mute to laugh because I was like, I don't know how this is my fault, right? I don't get it, all right? And on top of all that, have you guys been, like, feeling the heat, right? It has been, like, crazy hot. And then I thought to myself, why did I buy a car with leather seats? Because I will get in there and I burn my buns and it's not fun for anybody, right? And it's terrible. Does that kind of sound familiar? I'm complaining on purpose, all right? We've been going through the stories in Exodus, going through the journey with the Israelites in the desert with Moses, and they've been grumbling. They've been complaining a lot, and guess what? Newsflash, they're not going to stop. So, but I want to talk to you a little bit more about God's provision, and I don't want to just leave this week with all those negative things. I want to tell you some cool things that happened the way that God provided this week. God provided strength for me to get through the times when I was sick. And I'm not just saying that to prove a point, but he did. Like, I felt awful. And I took, like, on Thursday, when I was really sick the whole way through work, I think I took, like, 89, 90 calls or something like that. It was crazy. And I just wanted to go home and sleep. And then we had our adoption classes afterwards. But God gave me the strength throughout the day to get through that day. And I honestly can't say it was me, because I'm a baby when I'm sick. I'm like, I just want to sleep. Give me some medicine, you know? It was God, all right? I also found out, most of you guys know, my job isn't, I'm not very fond of it, but I did find out this week that I'm getting a promotion, and that's all God. So that's great. Still on the phones, but I move up a level, and it helps with the finances a little bit, which is great. But that's God providing, right? And there's been days where every morning, Brianna and I text each other, when I get to work, not when I'm driving, and we say, how can I pray for you? And every morning, my prayer is pretty much the same. It's energy and a good attitude. And God provided that this week, all right? And God provided us a house with air conditioning. And we think of these things and we're like, okay, that's all great. But he did. Today marks a year that we moved down to North Carolina, and it was a great decision. And we both came down with no jobs. Luckily, thank God for my in-laws, we had a house, or else we'd be living in a cardboard box because I'd be freaking out and, like, stressed out and all this other stuff. And but God provided along the way. And we're going to see, we've already seen, actually, how God's provided in Scripture. Today we're going to look at a story in Exodus chapter 17. If you want to turn there a while, you can. This is the story about the water coming from the rock. And I love this story because it's just so cool because it shows so many things about who God is, all right? And you guys may have heard this story before, but we're going to go ahead and read this. I'm going to start off and just read chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. I actually Googled that this morning because I didn't know how to say it. So, funny story. So they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So we're continuing on this journey, right? We're on this journey in the desert with the Israelites, and so far, God's provided for them. We can honestly say that. If we look at what's happened so far, God parted the Red Sea, so he delivered the Israelites out of slavery, all right? And this is just leading up to this story, okay? He delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. They cross the sea. They get over there. The Egyptians are coming after them, and all of a sudden, the water closes. The Egyptians die. The Israelites are free. I don't know what else you're looking for as far as provision, Israelites, but you understand where we're going here. And then after that, this is a germaphobe's favorite story, all right? I love sharing this story with germaphobes because they came to this place at Marah, right? And the water, they said in Scripture, it says it was bitter. So God says, "Here's what I want you to do, Moses. There's a log over here. Why don't you throw that bugger into the water, and I'm going to make it sweet." All the germaphobes always freak out because they're like, "What if there's like ants or something on that, or there's going to be sand from the desert on there," and throw it into the water. But God has a different way of purifying water, right? And he told Moses to throw the log into the water, and the bitter water became sweet. After that, we see that the Israelites grumble again, right? They're hungry. Oh my gosh, we had so much meat back in the day when we were slaves, and they're trying to look back at the good old times. The grass is always greener, right? But then God provides bread from heaven. All right, I don't know about you guys, but I would be freaked out if I come out and there's like bread falling from the sky. But in the same respect, the Israelites were hungry, so they're like, "Yeah, this is great, you know? We got bread coming from heaven." We see that in that story that God provides as well. And how about this, right? God's providing for them, what? The pillars of cloud and the pillars of fire. How many of you guys would love a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire today that know that, you know, God's right there with you and showing you where to go? Wouldn't that be sweet, right? They had that. Like, what more do you need, right? What more do you need? But we see that God has been providing for them throughout Scripture. And I just want to take a look at this a little bit more today. Looking at this passage, going a little bit deeper, a couple just quick facts. All right, a couple quick facts that we can learn here. They might not even necessarily relate to the story, but I always feel like it's good to get a general picture of what's going on in the story, right? So we see that the Israelites come to a place. They're in the desert. There's no water again, okay? I understand, you know, if I'm in the desert and I'm out of water, you know, I'd be freaking out too. I understand. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, but they have no water again. So what do? They go back to their college degree. Their degree in complaining, because they're really, really good at it. And they have to have a degree at it because they're so good at it, right? So Moses cries out to the Lord. He says, "Lord, what do I do with this people? What do I do with this people?" And there's an interesting fact here. Leading up until this story, Moses would go to God when the Israelites complained, and he said, "What do I do with my people?" Or, "What do I do with your people?" This is the first time on this journey where Moses changes his tone a little bit. And he says, "What do I do with this people?" You can tell that Moses is kind of getting frustrated with the Israelites too, right? The fleshly side of Moses is coming out. What do I do with this people? They're no longer my people. When they do things like this, they're somebody else's people. They're not mine, right? And I'm assuming he's embarrassed to say, "What do I do with your people, Lord?" because of what they're doing and what they have been doing. But the fact of the matter is, we know what happens next. The Lord tells Moses to take the staff and strike the rock, and water will come from it. And I don't know about you guys, maybe I'm just fascinated by the dumbest stuff, but I think this is like the coolest story ever, right? Like, how many of you guys would take a stick and slam a rock and, you know, nothing would happen except for you might get the reverberation and hurt yourself, right? But these guys get water, you know? And I just think this is cool. But the fact of the matter is, this story shows that the Lord provided again. God provided again for the Israelites, okay? So what I want to ask ourselves is, what can we learn from this story, all right? Well, we can learn a lot, actually, about this story, as you can with any story in the Bible, usually. But one of the things that we can learn is God's provision was and is perfect, all right? We see throughout the journey here, through the desert, that God provided at the perfect time for them. Yes, there was complaining, there was grumbling, but God provided for them at the perfect time. So his provision was perfect, and I want to tell you this, his provision for us is perfect today. Do you believe that? I know it's hard sometimes to understand it or believe it, but I can tell you this with assurance that God's provision is perfect for today. It may not be our timing. That's one of the things that we have to look at when it is hard, all right? It may not even be the answer that we want. But this I can assure you, God's provision was back in these times and is today perfect. Nothing has changed. God doesn't change. His provision is always perfect. I want to share a story with you guys. In 2006, I had the opportunity to go to Thailand. It's where I kind of fell in love with Southeast Asia. I went on a missions trip with Brethren in Christ World Missions. It was one of the first times I was in a third world country, as they label it. We worked with some missionaries from Brethren in Christ World Missions. And when we got over there, it was a couple by the name of Lynn and Amy Myers, and then there was a single woman by the name of Chris Garris. But I want to focus a little bit on the couple here, Lynn and Amy Myers. This couple was fantastic. And I say that, I know we're not supposed to put man on a pedestal, but these people just blessed my heart so much. Here these people are. They lived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Apparently there's a connection with like Harrisburg and Thailand because Pastor Matt's from that area too. I don't know. So if you want to go to Thailand, just live in Harrisburg for a while. Nobody wants to be there, so God ships them off to Thailand. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was a lame joke. But anyway, so these people pick up everything. They go to Thailand, and they're just serving the people. They're known as the Isan people. And I just fell in love with this couple because of this. They loved the Lord so, so much. And I can stand here and say this, but it wouldn't mean anything to you if I didn't give you examples, right? So Lynn is the husband in the relationship. He was a school teacher at a place called Benchema School. And so he went and taught school and then used that platform as a way to share the gospel with teachers, with kids, and things like that. But the way he led his family closer to Jesus just blew my mind. And I said to myself, one day I want to emulate that a little bit. Because here's what would happen. So if something was wrong with one of the kids, when we were over there, they had three kids. And with one of the kids started complaining. And so this dude whips out the Bible, right? And he starts sharing scripture with his son, who at this time was probably like 5 years old, 5, 7 years old. And he's just trying to break down a biblical principle. Instead of like smacking the kid and telling him to be quiet, he sat there with the Bible and read the Bible to his kid. One of his other kids ended up, I think, getting hurt while we were over there. And he went and consoled the kid. And there was a scrape on the forehead, right? He consoled the kid, and he went up, and I remember this vividly. He went up and laid hands on the kid's head. You know, he's a dad, blood and all, right? I'm going to pray for you, right? And he prays for healing for his son. And the way that he led his marriage was just incredible. I remember I think he did something wrong in his eyes while he was over there. He said something that may have been out of line to Amy. And he pulled Amy aside and he said, please forgive me. Like, I know it was a joke, but it wasn't right, you know? And he was just so, I don't know, he's so in tune with the Lord. He wanted to show his family who Jesus was all about. And, you know, he wanted to show the Isan people who Jesus was all about too. Went over there, had a great 2 weeks, spent a lot of time with them. We did a retreat for the missionaries because I don't know if you guys have been missionaries before, but sometimes it just gets crazy. Jesse, am I right? Like sometimes it just gets so busy, you're exhausted, and you're just leaning to the Lord for all the strength that he can give you, right? And so we did like a little retreat for the missionaries over there and their helpers, and we just wanted to encourage them. It was August, I believe, or July, but we showered that we had like Christmas in July, you know, they have the sales here. We had a big Christmas event over there, and it was just great. And but I just fell in love with this couple. We come home, I keep in contact with them, get their monthly newsletters, and I felt kind of special because I would email Lynn every once in a while, and he would write back, and I was like, cool, I'm messaging a missionary. Like, I'm lame like that, but I was like, this is cool, he's writing back, you know, and he's not asking for money. No, I'm just kidding. But we just kept in touch, and it was great, right? A couple years later, I got an email that just made me sick to my stomach. It just so happened that, I forget what year it was, but Lynn had contracted Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS. And I don't know if you guys know anything about this disease, but it just basically eats away at your body until you're pretty much nothing. I mean, you're skin and bones, and I don't mean to gross you out or anything like that, but that's just what this disease does. It just starts breaking down everything. And right now, you guys have heard of the ice bucket challenge that happened a couple years ago. They actually used that money, and they may have found some sort of prevention for it, but anyways, just to give you an idea of how this disease works, it just deteriorates your body until you eventually pass. And at that time, I stopped sending emails because I wanted them to have their family time. They, of course, came home from Thailand, back to the Harrisburg, Shippensburg area to essentially get treatments for Lynn and things like that. And eventually, you know, I'm getting these newsletters. The newsletters are popping up every month again, and it's Amy sharing, we know that God is going to provide healing for Lynn. Lynn is going to be healed from ALS, and we know it because God is with us. And she prayed fervently. The kids prayed fervently. And she said a miracle was going to happen, and Lynn was going to be healed from this disease. Yeah, there's no cure, but our God is the ultimate healer, and he can do anything, right? It was November of 2010 when another email came through and found out that Lynn had passed away in November of 2010. And I remember reading that email, and my head just dropped, because this guy was just, he was amazing to his wife, his kids, the Thai people. He just loved the Lord, and you could just see it protruding from his life. And the words in Amy's email were profound to me. She said, the Lord answered our prayers. He healed Lynn. And I was like, I got a little upset. I'm not going to lie to you. They were profound words, but I'm like, you prayed for this. You know, and she never sent her emails that the healing was going to come here on this earth, but she just had this, the Holy Spirit was working in her, telling her that Lynn is going to be healed. And you know what? Lynn was in a lot of pain. He got to the point where, you know, he had to have a feeding tube and all this other stuff. He was in a lot of pain. He withered away to nothing, but God provided for their family. God took the pain away, and now Lynn is in heaven. Lynn is in heaven with his Savior right now. And there's no greater provision than that. Am I right? There's no greater provision. So God's provision was perfect back in those times, and it is perfect even now. The second thing I think we can take from this passage is God's provision was and is full of grace. All right? This is the theology of Chris Brenneman, all right? But I think it's pretty biblical, right? Up until this point, we've seen God provide for the Israelites, okay? I truly believe at this point in time in the story that God would have not allowed the Israelites to die of thirst. I really don't. And, you know, there may be refuting against that, whatever. But I really think that God would have provided for them. It's just that the Israelites weren't necessarily patient, all right? It said they started grumbling at Moses. Moses thought that they were going to stone him. And all these other things. But God's provision was and is full of grace, all right? Again, the Israelites went back to doing what they do best. They started complaining, and God provided. Now, I want to be very careful with this point, because I don't want you to sit here and think, ooh, if I want something, if I grumble and complain, God's going to provide, all right? That's not necessarily what I mean by that. But I want to show you the whole idea of this story, besides pointing to Jesus, which we'll get to in the third point, is the fact that God is a God of grace and mercy. All right? It doesn't mean that when we don't get what we want or when we need something, that we sit there and we say, God, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Life was better a couple years ago. You know? That's not what we do. But God provided for them in a time of need, even after their grumbling. You know, a word that came to mind when we were praying, when we were singing, was the word unconditional. God loves us unconditionally, right? And he provides, he loves us so much that he provides the grace and the mercy to get us through some tough times, right? And we may not be acting the way we should, but he still provides that grace. I know there's some people who, you know, and this was me. I don't even want to say some people. There was a time in my life, all right, where I was so concerned with God's will for my life that and you can laugh at this. I give you permission to laugh, that I thought if I made the wrong decision, that God peaced out and he wasn't with me, all right? There was a time where I believed that. And I think there's some people who believe that as well. And I'm not telling you to go make bad decisions, okay? I want to be clear here, but I want to say that God is with you every step of the way. Some of you guys are going through tough situations right now. I don't know what those situations are. Some of them I do, some of them I don't. But in the same respect, some of you guys are going through some really difficult situations right now. Some of you guys have made some poor choices, and I'm about to share one of mine in a couple minutes here. But this I can tell you, our God, the God that we serve, the God that we believe in, his provision is full of grace, and he will still walk alongside of you. And yeah, it might be a little tougher if you make the wrong decision, but he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. That's biblical. Do you guys understand that? He will provide for you where you are, all right, in your time of need. But again, if we go back to the first point, it might not be your timing. It might not be the resolution that you're looking for, but he still provides. So I want to share with you a story about myself because I don't like telling stories about people who do things the wrong way unless it's me because I don't think it's fair. So there was a time in my life where everything was what I would call perfect in my life. I was a youth pastor in a church. Life was good. I was married. I had a dog and we had a house. And that house even had, I don't understand why people say this, but it's just a term. It even had the white picket fence around it, right? I don't even know what the big deal is about the white picket fence, but hey, we had the white picket fence, right? And there was a time in my life where everything was going well. The youth group was running well. You know, kids were coming to Christ. We were having these big outreaches. It was awesome. God was moving. Life was great. Then after some time, there was some events that happened in my life where my marriage crumbled to absolutely nothing, and I had to get a divorce. And I won't go into the story. If you want to know, come talk to me. But had to get a divorce. With the divorce, the church said, we got to let you go. We can't have, you know, a divorced pastor in our church. And everything that was up here quickly went all the way down. I literally hit the bottom of the barrel in my life. At the time, my now ex-wife and I were separated. And I was living with some friends. And literally, I was on a high of life, and then all of a sudden, everything, I want you to know that it wasn't just like hopping, skipping, and jumping. Like, life was real good at that point, and literally withered away to nothing. And what I'm about to tell you is a little freaky. I don't want to freak you out, but in the same respect, I want to show you how full of grace and mercy God is. When I found out what had happened in my marriage, it turned out to be an affair. I'll give you the short end of it. Lost my marriage, lost everything. I wanted to literally lose everything. And I tried two times to rid myself of this earth. And it's not something I'm proud of. It's not something that I share lightly. But I tried. And God, or should I say, but God, in his provision, in his grace, in his mercy, brought people when I was attempting, and they saved me. I should not be standing in front of you right now, plain and simple. I should not be here. I should not be speaking to you. I should not have the grace and the luck that I have in having a beautiful wife who understands things, understands me, all right? I shouldn't be here. But God, right? But God provided wonderful friends in my life who got me help. They took me to a hospital, to the behavioral health unit. Not a fun place to be. I would like to say that things turned around really quickly. I had to go through some things. But if God didn't provide these people, I wouldn't be here today. If God didn't give me the Christian counseling that I needed, I don't know where I'd be today. I would probably still be drinking in a bar somewhere and not here. If God had not been full of grace, I was scared to death when I told Brianna my story on our second or third date at a pottery. We were painting pottery, and I was like, she's going to leave me. But God provided a woman who's full of grace, full of mercy, and full of love, and she said, that's the past. Have you dealt with it? Yeah. Let's move on. Praise God, right? I don't want that story to be a woe is Chris. This is God. This is God providing for me. This is God providing a second chance. Not everybody gets that second chance. But God was full of grace and mercy, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for his provision. I'm thankful that he sent the right people at the right time. A couple seconds later, wouldn't be here. I'm thankful. All right, we already went over that. Sorry, sometimes I get off on a tangent. All right, and lastly, here's the main point that I want to share with you today. When we talk about provision, I want to submit to you that God has already provided for you. God provided the ultimate provision. If you can turn to your 1 Corinthians, I think this is kind of cool. This blew my mind. It's blown my mind in the past, and sometimes God just needs to blow my mind again. And he did it this time. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Man, I think this is cool. All right, so it says this. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Can I read that again? Is that cool with you guys? I think this is sweet. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. How cool is that? I don't know. Maybe I'm just a nerd, but I think that's so cool. Like, so many people nowadays are like, oh, the Old Testament doesn't matter. I'm like, yes, it does. Like, this story points to Jesus. God provided the ultimate God provided the ultimate provision for you, all right? And if we take everything that's in this verse right now, let's break it down, because if you don't understand it, sometimes, I'm a guy, so I don't understand things properly. Let me break it down. I need a visual. The rock in our story was Christ. That's biblical. That's in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. The rock was struck with Moses' staff, right? That's sharing. Christ was beaten and struck, and out of that, Jesus is the living water. God provided the ultimate provision in Jesus Christ, which is shown in the Old Testament. Guys, let that blow your mind. I'm sorry. This is so cool. This is so cool. Sorry, I'm going to break this table now. Maybe I don't need that P90X. All right? But this is so cool. How it all works out. 1 Corinthians tells us that the rock that was hit at Horeb that day symbolizes Jesus Christ. And it was struck because Jesus was struck and beaten for our sins. And out of that, we have salvation in Christ Jesus through his blood. I kind of want to do a dance right now, but I don't want to freak you guys out and I don't want you to leave. But that's just cool. Like, please understand how awesome this is, that something that happened so many years ago can be so relevant to today. This story that we just read of the Israelites complaining matters to you and me today because Jesus is the ultimate provision given by God for us to have eternal life. So I believe that it's biblical that God has already provided for you and me. I do. And it was symbolized back in Exodus 17. And it was showed through the death of Christ on the cross. I want to share with you a story. This is General James Stockdale. I don't know if you guys are history buffs or not. I wasn't when I was in school, but now that I'm older, I'm like, hey, this is cool. You know, history isn't so bad after all. So James Stockdale, he was in the U.S. Navy, and he flew one of his planes off the ship and was fighting, and he got shot down in the Vietnam War. And got shot down, and he got captured. He actually survived the wreck there, and he was captured. And he was captured for 8 years. He was in jail. They said that he was beaten about, or at least tortured 20 times. I don't know what the torture was, but just 20 times is enough to freak me out. So, but he was beaten more than 20 times. He was tortured more than 20 times. But out of his whole crew that got captured, he was one of the only ones who made it out. You can see all those medals. He's a pretty good dude, right? So there's this business guru, just to turn the tables a little bit, a business guru by the name of Jim Collins. He wrote a lot of business books, and he got to interview General James Stockdale, and he wanted to talk to him because he's like, this is fascinating. You were captured for 8 years. You were tortured more than 20 times, and you made it out alive, but your buddies didn't. Like, we gotta talk, right? So there's got to be some principle that we can take out of this. So Jim Collins keeps asking him, you know, all these different questions. And the one answer to the question that was asked was, you know, how did you make it out? And the other guys didn't. And he says this, and this is a quote from General James Stockdale. He said, I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining moment of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade. Now, at first glance, we're like, this guy's a jerk. You know, like he's puffing his chest out there and all this other stuff. But they go on to ask more questions and they said, okay, we understand what you're trying to say, but like, why didn't the other guys make it out? And he said this. He said, many of my prison mates didn't make it out alive because they were a certain kind of optimist. And let me be really brief here when I say this. It's not bad to be an optimist, okay? It's not. But he said they're optimists. He said they got to a point where they said, we're going to get out by Christmas. Christmas would come, Christmas would go. All right, it's cool. We're going to make it out by Easter. All right, Easter came and went. Still in prison. 4th of July, America, right? We're going to get out by 4th of July. 4th of July comes, goes. They're still in prison. So these guys just started to deteriorate mentally, emotionally, and a lot of them died from depression and other things. And General James Stockdale said, what the optimist failed to do was to confront the reality of their situation. And this is where, if you guys read business books, or actually there's a book out there called Jesus-Centered Life. Thanks for my mother-in-law for buying that for me. But this what's known as the Stockdale Paradox is in this book. And this is the Stockdale Paradox. It came from, obviously, General James Stockdale. And it said, you must retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties, and at the same time, you must confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, wherever they might be. Let me read that one more time. He said, you must retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties, and at the same time, you must confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. Friends, what I want to share with you this morning is, God provided the ultimate provision for us, all right? We do have to come to grips with our reality. Our reality might be we might not have enough money to pay the bills. We might need to find a job. We might need to do this. We might need to do that. We have to understand that, yes, this is a reality. But we also got to understand that we're going to make it out. Why? Because God provides. And this isn't like some sort of health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. He's going to provide. But we have to have the eyes to see how he's going to provide. Because here's the thing, right? I was sick on Thursday during the day. I felt like garbage. I could barely lift my head up. I had to take these calls, all this other thing. God provided strength throughout the day to get me through. All right? There's multiple times in our life where God provides. We just don't see it. Because we're looking for the end game. We're looking for the end answer. We're looking for everything to be fixed. We're looking for everything to be healed. We're looking for everything to be taken care of. But sometimes God's provision is to give us a little endurance. Sometimes God's provision is to give us a little strength to get through the day. You might be hurting for money. Maybe it's God's provision not to give you $1 million or for you to win the Powerball, but somebody might drop off a couple bags of groceries for you so you can eat. God provides. Again, back to the first point, it might not be our timing. It might not even be the answer that we want. But I can tell you this, I believe in a God that provides. I believe that God provides for us one way or another. And it might, like I said, it might not be the end result that we get provided with. But this I do know. We have been provided with the ultimate provision, and that is Jesus Christ. And for those of you who are here today, and you've experienced this love, and you have accepted this love, you're provided for. You are provided for. When you're going through a difficult time, God provides a word for you. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Are you exhausted? Go to him. He's provided Jesus Christ for you to come, lay at his feet, and get rest. You know what else is cool? And I'm going to butcher this completely, and I'm sorry, but I think this is cool too. For those of you who are sitting here today, and you don't know who this Jesus guy is, or maybe you do know and you haven't accepted him yet, it says in Scripture that God is waiting, or Jesus is waiting to return because he wants as many people to come to know him as possible before he returns. He's waiting for you. He wants, sorry, I just hopped there. Woo! Holy Spirit. He's waiting for you. If you don't know who this Jesus guy is, if you want to learn more, I invite you, come see Pastor Shin, come talk to me, come see anybody who doesn't look familiar to you because if you're a visitor, you know? Come talk to somebody. God's provided the ultimate provision. And I know I keep saying this, but I have to remind myself, all right? I have to remind myself when the days are hard, when I'm getting cussed at on the phone, when things aren't going as planned, God is still with me. He's walking beside me, and he is providing even when I don't see it. He provides all the time, all right? Great, right? So good. And I want to share with you guys today as like a little bit of a closing. I don't want you to think that I'm speaking at you because this is something that the Lord is working on me with. Because you can ask my wife. She probably won't tell you because she's super nice, but I complain a lot. I'm pretty much one of the Israelites. I actually went to the same school as them, the school of complaining, right? And I'm like, things can't get any worse. Things were so much better, right? And I'm working on this just as you guys are too. This is not something that I have understood. This is not something that I have grasped. I don't even know if I ever will. I don't know if we ever will. But here's what I want you to understand, guys. If you hear nothing else today, God has already provided for you and you and you and me. He's provided the ultimate provision, and that provision is his son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that today. I don't want you leaving this building without knowing that Jesus loves you. He wants to be a part of your life, and he has provided for you by his death on the cross, and you can have eternal life through him because he loves you so much. No matter what you've done in the past, he can look at me and say, that guy tried to commit suicide twice. Maybe I don't want to save him, but he didn't. You know why? He loves me, and he loves you, and he wants to provide for you.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.